Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
This is the Army Wife Talk Radio podcast, which was created just for military spouses and families around the world. We are here to support you throughout your military journey with resources, information, and fun. This is episode number 905, and I'm your host, Army Wife Network's communications liaison, Sarah Robichaud.
And I am Army Wife Network's empowerment agent, Amanda Bicknies, joining Sarah today. We're excited to share new information with you because that's our main focus. Empowering you in this military life journey. We always have your back, and we're here to bring you the resources you need to thrive in your mill spouse life. On today's show, we will listen in to an interview conducted by our podcast production assistant, Annie Pierce, as she chats with guest Sarah Strader, Executive Director of Secure Families Initiative, and the recently announced AFI 2022 Overall Military Spouse of the Year.
That should be a great conversation. But before we dive in, Amanda, why don't you tell me about how things are going for you this week? Do you have any new exciting plans now that summer is in full swing?
Yes, I'm getting so excited for the summer. We actually just took a trip last month. We normally go and visit family in the summertime when I'm teaching, but we've already gotten a chance for my parents to meet my son that I just had in January. So that was really nice. And so this summer, we're just hanging around in Colorado. We're going to be outdoors a lot in our new house. We have a backyard finally. So we're all just super pumped about that. And I'll actually be going to a wine festival. And so just lots of, you know, relaxed activities planned this summer. What about you guys?
We are also having mostly a relaxing summer. My husband is away for training until the week before we PCS. So we're just kind of on autopilot this summer. We are taking a big trip to Colorado. I don't know where you are in Colorado Springs, but we're going to be, you're in Colorado Springs, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Is that where you're coming?
So no, I'm flying into Denver. I think I am bypassing Colorado Springs and headed way out west to Crested Butte, somewhere in the mountains for a big family reunion.
So, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I think that's pretty west of us. But oh, that's so exciting. When are you guys doing that?
We are doing it over the 4th of July. So hopefully the weather is good. I've never been to Colorado before, but it should be a good time. I've missed all of the other family reunions due to babies and random military stuff. So I'm really excited to finally get to join in on this one.
Oh, yay. I'm so excited for you. That's awesome. And you're going to love Colorado, especially over the summer. It's, you know, you don't have to deal. Well, it did just snow actually, like no. The second day of June, a little bit north of us.
Oh no.
So it's kind of crazy, but it never lasts long. And honestly, it's really, really enjoyable. So yeah.
Nice. Very nice. It'll be a good break from the South. It is hot and humid down here. So I'm excited to kind of get some fresh air for a week.
Oh yes, definitely. Well, it's been so good catching up with you, Sarah. Listeners, we'll hear all about this week's top stories and need to know news from our well-informed New 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt.
No news is typically good news in this military life, except on Army Wife Talk Radio. Here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Sarah and Amanda. Here are this week's top stories. 1 in 5 military families experienced food insecurity in 2021. That's up from 1 in 8 in 2019, reported military.com. A survey by the Center for Strategic and International Studies and Military Family Advisory Network found that high rates of spouse unemployment, moving, and child care shortages are driving the growing rate of food insecurity among active duty military families. Additional stresses included emergencies such as veterinarian costs, auto expenses, or natural disasters like the ice storm in Texas. A survey by Blue Star Families released earlier this year found that spouse unemployment rate in military families is at 20%, and more than 63% are underemployed. Each of these multiple factors impact financial stability for military families. In response, Congress has ordered a new report to shed more light on the scope of the issue. That review is due to be released October 1st. If you are struggling to stretch your food budget, it's okay to get help. The Center for Strategic and International Studies recommends applying for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP. To apply, you can see if you are eligible by visiting the state that you live in at Food and Nutrition Service website. That's fns.usda.gov, or just simply Google search for your state and SNAP, S-N-A-P. You also may be eligible for a summer food service program to help bridge the summer gap between school sessions. And finally, check with your local churches and community groups for food banks and programs in your area. You can read more at military.com. Senator Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat in Wisconsin, says she plans to introduce new legislation to expand health care coverage for military reservists, including some 60,000 National Guard members who lack health insurance when they are not on military duty, reported Stars and Stripes. Under the bill, free access to TRICARE coverage will be extended to all service members in the National Guard and Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marine Reserves who are currently only eligible for free health care while under specific active duty military statuses. You can read more about the proposed legislation at stripes.com. And I really thought that I had seen it all when it came to RV renovations over the past two COVID-inspired years. But this one tops them all. Coast Guard helicopter pilots Blake Morris and Maggie Morgan purchased a 44-year-old SA-330 Puma helicopter that had previously flown in Afghanistan through Facebook Marketplace. They bought it in 2020. Over the past 2 years, the couple has spent over 900 hours gutting, patching, and renovating the helicopter body, transforming it into an RV complete with a bed, kitchen, bathroom, and plenty of space for their adorable dogs. You can read all of the details of this renovation, including the preserved flight control stick and switches in the cockpit, at taskandpurpose.com. If you'd like to follow the couple's journey on Instagram, find them at helicamper_RV. That's HELICAMPER_RV. And this week in history, Father's Day is just around the corner, and I did a little bit of exploring on history of how it came to be. According to History.com, Mother's Day was the predecessor to Father's Day. Apparently, it was an easy sell for families, and the popularity of Mother's Day spread from one celebration in May of 1908 to official status by May of 1914. The first Father's Day was officially celebrated on June 19, 1910, by Sonora Smart Dodd, who wanted to honor her father, a veteran and widower who had raised six children as a single parent. However, it wasn't until 1972, a full 58 years later, that the United States finally declared it an official holiday. Ideal Home had some interesting facts about the holiday. Did you know that a tie is the most popular Father's Day gift? And possibly the most unimaginable fact, the father who holds the record for having the most children was Fyodor Vasiliev, a peasant from Moscow who lived in the 1700s. His first wife had 69. Yes, I said 69 children. She had 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets. I have no words. Find the link to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Thanks to Jolene for seeking out the most relevant news for us each week. We always learn something new. Now we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll hear from this week's guest, AFI 2022 Military Spouse of the Year and Executive Director of SFR, Sarah Strader. Can't wait. Stay tuned.
2022 marks AWTR's 17th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 850 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcast app of your choice, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Annie Pierce, your podcast production assistant, and I'm excited to share with you today's empowering episode. Military spouses have a unique stake in the matters of foreign affairs. Today, we're chatting with Sarah Strader, Military Spouse and Secure Families Initiative Executive Director. Secure Families Initiative, an organization whose mission is to elevate military spouses and family members as voters and advocates for their communities, especially on issues of national security. Today's guest, SFI Executive Director Sarah Strader, is an advocate, organizer, and proud military spouse committed to helping other military partners and family members raise their voices on foreign policy issues that affect their lives. She began her career working for the White House's Correspondence Office under President Obama's administration. Sarah now lives in Virginia and is the Armed Forces Insurance 2022 Space Force Spouse of the Year. Sarah, welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio.
Thanks so much, Annie. Glad to be here.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. It goes without saying that military spouses have a unique stake in our relations with other countries. But before we get too far, let's start at the beginning. Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about Secure Families Initiative and why you launched this nonprofit 2 years ago?
Yes. So in 2018, my spouse was deployed. And one afternoon, I had a sobbing meltdown in an repair shop lobby because I was sitting there waiting for the mechanic to tell me how many thousands of dollars I was going to need to put into my car. Mm-hmm. I was getting this constant stream of breaking news headlines on my phone that was telling me all about the violence in the part of the world where I knew my loved one was stationed. And without the tools to understand what was going on, whether he was in direct fire or not, I felt overwhelmed with stress and anxiety over his safety. And mm-hmm. I came away from that experience thousands of dollars poorer, but also determined to build an informative and supportive community of military family members who might go through the same things that I did, who could work together to both learn more about those current events that directly impact our lives, and most importantly, who could take action together by being voters and advocates on these issues. And fast forward 4 years later, and here we are.
Oh my goodness. I mean, honestly, whenever you don't have control of something, it makes it even harder. So to be able to give spouses and families a little bit of control when it comes to their, you know, what their service member's doing, that's awesome.
Thank you. I agree. That's what voting is great. It's the one time we get to actually say what we want to happen in our lives rather than being told what has to happen in our life.
Right.
And I hope too that when we better understand the mission, what's going on, what it is that our sacrifices and services are contributing to, I think that mm-hmm. helps with morale as well and feeling like we're part of that.
Yes. Absolutely. As long as like feeling a part of something, I think is something a lot of us, you know, long for. So what have been some of your biggest organizational successes, but also challenges? And what are you most proud of to have accomplished?
So we're a nonpartisan group. I know when we get involved in politics, it's easy to assume, oh, you probably are one side or the other, but we think it's really important that we find consensus on shared values and shared issues from folks, no matter what your affiliation is, right? And I think the best demonstration of us succeeding at that happened sometime last year. The U.S. Senate was considering this big federal voting legislation bill that would have impacted lots about voting. I'm sure lots of people heard about it, called the For the People Act, I think is what it was called.
Yes.
And when it was at the Senate committee level, we had noticed that there were parts of the bill that we wanted to get modified because it would accidentally remove some voting options that existed for certain military voters in certain states. And so we did outreach to senators on both sides of the aisle in that committee. And believe it or not, we got those changes passed in amendments unanimously. It was a voice vote, which
That's
means
Awesome.
Bipartisanship won the day, which how often can we say that, right?
That's awesome.
That was definitely a moment where we thought, oh, this is such important work and we are so glad to be seeing it reflected in impact. Mm-hmm. But I'll also say in terms of accomplishment, this is a kind of a squishier one, but I'm really proud of how we've established ourselves as a resource for our community. So when big events happen in the world, whether it's withdrawing US troops from Afghanistan or mobilizing troops near Ukraine, we get a slew of messages from folks expressing all the emotions, first of all, but also looking to us as a hub for information and for support. And I'm just proud that we've become that for folks, that people know we're here and are using us the way we want to be used. Now, you also mentioned challenges, of course, Annie, those always come. We're a nonprofit. So, you know, funding is always going to be, it's always going to be what keeps me up at night as the person who runs the ship. And also our own team, we are all military spouses ourselves, which means we have personal stress that comes up every time there's big issues in the news. But we look out for each other. And I think that helps win the day.
The fact that it's all militaries, that you have military spouses and, you know, us military spouses do look out for each other, hopefully all over the place. But at that, to be able to see a bipartisan win from something that you guys, you know, fought for had to have been just such a wonderful feeling. And to have people in the community reaching out to you, that just, it fills your heart.
Keeps us going for sure.
Absolutely. So what are some of SFI's hopes for the future?
Well, I could talk your ear off a whole list of policies that we'd love to see passed. For example, I think the bill that we helped amend, now that it's in better shape, I think it would do a lot of good. And that's one example of something that if it were to pass, I think would be great. There are also some other, in kind of more the national security realm, there are some outdated laws that are still on the books that, make it easier for presidents to take our troops into war without consulting Congress, which if anyone ever read the Constitution ever knows, that's not a good thing. And so we are part of, you know, a really broad bipartisan coalition that says, hey, these policies are dangerous. We should definitely stop having this as law so that, you know, as military families, we know that we're ready and willing to answer the call to service if called to, but we also want to make sure that when it happens, it's done deliberatively and transparently and democratically.
Right.
So that's those are some of the policies we've been focusing on and will continue to aim for changing in the future. In terms of organizational hopes, in terms of where we want to grow, I would love to see us build out our outreach beyond just military spouses and partners to include more military parents and kids as well, because the issues that we advocate on, they're not limited as to whether you're a TRICARE dependent or not, right? No matter what your relationship is to someone, if you love someone in uniform, then you have a stake in these national security conversations. And I think it'd be really cool to see some multi-generational organizing around that stuff.
Oh, that would be really cool. And just because, especially with kids, like, this is really going to affect you, you know, like this is going to start setting policies for years to come. So you should have a stake in this.
Absolutely. And I'm excited that later in our conversation, we'll talk more about kids turning 18, being adults and all that they get to do then.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay. So we got so much to talk about. The military is apolitical. How does that impact your work to motivate military spouses and families?
Absolutely. One of the first things that we knew we were going to have to do, if we were going to ask military families, hey, get involved, be an advocate, we knew that we were going to have to answer all of the questions that we get about, like, well, but can I? Am I even allowed to do that? And so from day one, we built this nonpartisan advocacy training called Politics, Do's and Don'ts for Military Spouses, where we spell out
nice.
what kinds of, you know, quote, political activities are and are not allowed for military connected folks. Because we knew there were going to be hesitations and we wanted to make sure to clearly define this is what you can do without getting your service member in trouble. And one of the things that we clarify in that training is that, first of all, every single thing that we encourage mil spouses to do at SFI, totally allowed. Again, we are nonpartisan. And what we're doing is, well, here, put it this way. There's a difference between what I call capital P politics. That's where you're promoting a political party or you're pushing for a certain candidate to get elected. But then there's lowercase p politics, which isn't really politics. It's connected, but this is where issue advocacy lives. You're interacting with government officials in their official capacity, not their politician capacity. And you're asking them to make policy changes that would help you, the constituent, or you, the community you represent. I know it feels political because sometimes these officials run for office, but it's not political because it's engaging them in their official capacity. And most importantly, it's something that DoD policy isn't concerned about you doing. So whatever rules do exist, it only has to do with the election stuff, the party stuff, the candidate stuff. It doesn't have to do with issue advocacy. And I tell you, as soon as we spell that out, it's like a light bulb goes off in folks' mind. They're like, oh my gosh, awesome. I can call my member of Congress and be like, hey, we have black mold on our housing, fix it. And that's okay. Yeah. If anything, it's important. It's encouraged. We got to do more of that.
I do. There is hesitation. You know, I totally understand that hesitation because I've had it before of like, okay, if I fill out this survey and, you know, am truthful about my housing, is that going to affect, you know, my service member? And it's wonderful that you guys noticed that in the beginning and set out the rules so that everyone's on the same page. Voting is a big part of your mission and it's a federal election year. What does that mean for SFI?
Well, first of all, it means my team and I are living off constant caffeine drips, but
oh my goodness.
Most importantly, it's okay. We all like coffee. It's great. Now, in all seriousness, we get so excited when it's a federal election year because that's when most folks are thinking of voting, paying attention to that stuff, and getting out the vote. It's fun and energizing. It's one of our favorite parts of our job. This year in particular is exciting because we launched a brand new project. It's called militaryteenvoter.org, or if you do militaryteenvoter.com, it'll get you there too. It's a whole website dedicated to those military kids in our lives who might be turning 18 or 19 this year and considering voting in this election for the very first time. We partnered with the National Military Family Association, or NMFA, another awesome nonprofit in our space. And together, we built the site to be both motivational and informational to a young voter who might want to get civically engaged.
Oh, my goodness. And we just had, a couple months ago, we had NMFA on to talk with them. So I love that there's organizations that are working together, you know, to come together for a common goal. And I can't imagine talking to a teen and being like, this is really important and you need to do this and here's why. But it is so important to get that, for them to get out there and have their vote, their voice heard.
Absolutely. I mean, these 18-year-olds, many of them are the future of our forces. So if we can make sure that from the very beginning of their potentially military career, that they feel plugged in civically, I think that'll do a lot for the just quality of life in our forces.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's data that military associated folks vote at lower rates than civilians. Why is this? And what are you doing to overcome that gap?
It's right. And it's so sad because in 2020, I think a lot of us saw the headlines, record-breaking voter participation across the board, right? Mm-hmm. Which was exciting and awesome, but there were discrepancies. And sure enough, in that year, according to the Federal Voting Assistance Program, military voters were 27% less likely to vote than civilian counterparts. Yeah. And that's even when they control for things like age and race and gender and education. So comparing like and like, military to civilian, we had this huge gap. Yikes. Am I right?
That's Yeah, exactly.
Now you ask, why is this? And from what we've found, it feels like there are basically two camps of folks. There are certainly those who choose not to vote for personal reasons, but there is also a larger group of folks who do want to vote, but they either get confused and frustrated by the instructions and they give up, or maybe they even try to cast their ballot, but for some reason it doesn't get counted, maybe because it didn't get there in time. Certainly 2020 had some unique barriers, COVID, mail delivery stuff, all of that. But sadly, this data point is actually consistent historically. So it wasn't just COVID,
Which
is important for us to know. So it's really that second batch of barriers that exist. Those are the ones that we're most passionate about fixing. And that's why you'll see SFI, especially during election years, but usually year round, explaining the registration process, answering frequent questions, posting election deadline reminders so folks remember to get their ballots with enough time. And then, of course, we also work with lawmakers to make sure that the voting policies are sufficiently accessible for our community.
I love that because it's, I also think, the federal elections, but like the local policies are important too. And trying to understand, okay, what are the local policies that I'm going to be voting on before you get into the voting booth is important. Because once you get in there, it's like, okay, well, now I have to make a decision.
Yeah, now I just vote based on whose name looks funnier on my ballot, right? Right. Now, that's a great point, Annie. Local elections are so important, if not more. And we actually link to on our website a couple nonpartisan ballot information resources. So you can go on there, you can plug in your zip code, it'll pop up all of the things you'll get to vote on, and it'll have some pre-populated information about each candidate, each ballot proposal, referendum, whatever, so that you can do that advanced research. And then a lot of us vote by mail, right? Because we live far away from our voting address. And I love that because I can be in my PJs, I can be on my couch, I can have my laptop in one hand and my ballot in the other, and I can take my time and feel like it's all good. So yeah, we definitely point to those resources because you can feel detached from local elections very easily, but we don't want people tuning out if possible.
Okay. I know you're not a mind reader, but you are totally a mind reader because I was just thinking, about the being able to know exactly what's on your ballot, but also like a little bit about each candidate, no matter what party. I don't want to just vote on party lines. I want to know, what is this candidate for? What policies have they been for, and what are the different local policies? I love that. That is awesome. I must admit, I'm guilty. I do mainly vote in presidential elections, but just recently I've started understanding the importance of local elections and the real power that local offices have. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Sarah from SFI and specifically chat more about the importance of voting. Listeners, if you would like to learn more about Secure Families Initiative, check out their website at securefamiliesinitiative.org. Or connect with them on social media via Facebook at Secure Families, Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok at secure_families. And don't worry, if you miss any of this, all of our links will be in our show notes. So stay tuned for the rest of our interview after our commercial break. We'll be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower, advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotions, podcast audio commercials, Facebook Lives, and so much more. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Welcome back, listeners. We're continuing our conversation with Sarah Strader, military spouse and executive director with Secure Families Initiative. Now, there may be some folks listening in who are not currently registered to vote. Sarah, can you tell us what exactly do they need to do to ensure that their voice is heard during this election year?
It is never too soon to get those materials in, whether you're registering for the first time or you're updating your mailing address for your registration. primary elections are already happening as we speak. And even when you think of the general election in November, early is best, just in case you have to make any fixes back and forth with your election official. So what do you got to do? Well, step one, you got to figure out where your voting residency is, because that will determine whether you're a long distance voter or a local voter. And don't worry, we coach folks through the question of how to determine your voting residency all on our website. And then step two, you fill out the appropriate form. So if you're a long distance voter, there's a single form that all military long distance voters use. It's called the Federal Postcard Application, or FPCA. Again, we link to that on our website. Or if you happen to be a local voter, you're going to go ahead and just use the voter registration form that your state or locality uses. There's nothing special for military. You're a regular voter for all intents and purposes.
A regular voter. It's hard because moving so much, you may have registered in one place and then forgotten about it. I know I always, whenever you have to remember your addresses, oh my goodness. I've gotten to the point where I write them down, but it's a lot to remember. So I love that your website has all that information for voters. So listeners, if you are not sure, if you maybe aren't sure if you're even registered, go to their website and check it out. So securefamiliesinitiative.org. Let's touch on a frequently mentioned, but still important hot topic. Why is it so important to vote?
I mean, so many reasons that I could tell you. I mean, this is the democracy that we all serve to protect, right? So I definitely think it's cool to vote because it's this inspiring reminder of why it is that we signed up for this crazy bonkers military life. But listen, I think we get told those like patriotic duty answers way too often. And so I'm going to give you a more practical, completely self-serving reason why you should vote. Ready?
Okay.
Every time you vote, you make a permanent impact. And I mean this, maybe not in the numeric outcome of a single election, but even if your person doesn't win their election, simply by voting, you have shaped the voter data in the district where you voted. Because you have said to anyone who's thinking of running for office or office holders who are thinking of what issues to prioritize, what you have said by voting is that people who are your age, your gender, your race, your socioeconomic status, that you care about this election. So those people should care about people like you because you're the type of person who shows up and votes. If you don't vote, then it's more likely that your district's kind of average voter profile is less likely to look like you. And therefore, politicians and office holders are less likely to care about the things you want them to. I know this because I used to work for a campaign. And I knew that when you work for a campaign, you only have so many dollars to spend, so many hours in the day, and you're going to prioritize people who you are convinced are going to vote to change their mind, than trying to convince someone both to vote and also to change their mind, right? You're gonna take the path of least resistance. So you want to create that personal voting record so that you have more sway on elections in general.
Oh my goodness. I have never heard it explained like that. That is such a eye-opening explanation because it's like, okay, yeah, my vote matters. Like, but what if my guy doesn't win? You know, like that. Oh my goodness. Okay. Oh, this. I'm going to use that from now on too, if you don't mind.
Please. No, everyone take it, run with it. It's true. And I find it to be so encouraging because we have to go through so much to cast our ballot. It takes so much work. You want to know that it counts every time. And it truly does.
Yeah. And especially like if you, you can get into a feeling of like, well, why should I, you know, it's just one out of so many votes, but that, yes, go vote so that you will be seen and your issues will be hopefully taken care of. What, speaking of us having military spouses having a harder time voting, what is the process for requesting a mail-in ballot?
Great question. So If you are a military connected voter who's voting long distance, which is very common because a lot of us have that one permanent residency back home, even as we PCS all around the world, right? So if this is you, I have really good news. The form that you use to both register to vote or update your mailing address, it is the same form that automatically requests an absentee ballot for you. It's that FPCA I mentioned, the Federal Postcard Application. You can find it on ff.gov. Again, we also link to it on our website. And I should flag, even if you have voted before, fill out this form again every year when there's an election, because that's the way to refresh the information your election official has, where so they know exactly where to send this ballot, whether it's whether they send it to you in the mail, whether they email it to you. And no matter how it is that you're supposed to return it, whether it's through the mail, electronic, fax, whatever, if you are a long distance military voter, FPCA gets the job done. Now, there are some military families who just happen to live in the same place where they vote. I think it's more rare, but it's still sometimes the case. And in that case, because you're local, usually you can choose between voting in person, or some states will still allow you to vote through the mail, even if you're local. But every state has different rules. So my best advice to anyone is go to your state's election website and or email us and we'll do it for you. Either way, we'll get you the state-specific information.
I love that because I just found out that there was a change in the state where I vote in. They have changed their rules where, like, if you request a mail-in ballot, that's you can't go in person, if that makes sense. Once you request it. But I love that you guys, like, if I email you and you guys will do it for me and figure out what my state's, you know, specific rules are, that makes it easier.
Absolutely. I remember this one moment in 2020, someone emailed us questions about the envelope rules, like the return envelope rules. And my comms director and I spent probably 30 minutes reading the instructions because sure enough, they were complicated and not clear.
Oh my goodness.
But we finally figured it out and we took a little video that we sent back to the person with using paper at home to demonstrate, here's how the envelope folds. So we will go to great lengths to make sure you are able to cast your ballot. That I can promise.
I love that. Like, there are so many instructions where, or like forms where I'm like, this is not really all that clear. Like, I feel like the person that wrote it thinks it's clear, but it's not all that clear. So we talked about recently, SFI recently launched a new program focused on young military family voters. Can you tell us more about this?
Yes. Let me tell you where the idea came from, and then I'll talk about why it's important. So a few months, well, probably about 6 months ago, I was grabbing coffee with another military spouse who had an 18-year-old daughter who had just voted the previous year for the first time. And she was explaining how, even though her daughter is one of those young adults who's super plugged in, she watches the news, she knows what's happening in the world, she's excited to vote, even she still felt a little overwhelmed by all of the different things that she was asked to vote for on her ballot. And she had this misconception at one point that if she left any parts of her ballot blank, like if she didn't vote for city council or something, that her entire ballot wouldn't get counted. Now, that story, it was like a little wake up moment for me, because I just thought, you know what? First time voters probably have lots of questions, just like that one, that I, someone who's been voting for a little while now, might not think about because it's been a while. So I knew from that moment, okay, if I want to get military teens voting, I'm going to need some military teen input as to what would be most helpful to them and their peers. So that's why we partnered with NMFA. They have a great working relationship with a group called Bloom, which is military teen led and awesome. And so they that whole collaborative process is what brought us to create a site that, like I said, both gives the information, but it packages it in a way that feels approachable and cool. At least, fingers crossed, we hope so, right? Now, why is this important? Cool. I got to check in with the young people, make sure we're not too cringe, as they say. But the reason this is important is earlier today, I mentioned to you how there's lower voting rates among the military, but there's also lower voting rates among young people, among the 18 to 29 year old range. In 2020, only half of eligible youth voters cast ballots. And there are even lower percentages if we're talking about Black youth or Latino youth voters. And that is so many voters whose voices are not being heard, which is part of why we prioritize this challenge.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot of, like you said, a lot of voters who aren't being heard. And it makes sense. I'm so glad that you teamed up. It's funny because when we talked to NMFA, we also talked to Bloom on our previous podcast, but I am so glad that you teamed up with Bloom because you have the curse of knowledge of like, okay, I've been voting for years, you know, so I don't know all the questions that a first-time voter would have. Oh my goodness. So if you are a military spouse and you have a teen who's about to become a voter, or if you happen to be a military teen yourself, definitely check out the website. Sarah, tell me what the teen voter website is again.
MilitaryTeenVoter.org or .com. Both of them will get you there. I think we also reserved MilTeenVoter and MilTeenVoter.com. So if you plug it in, it'll probably get you the right place.
And where can our listeners go besides that, besides our military teen listeners, where can our listeners go to find even more empowering information about your resources?
Yeah, so you mentioned all of our socials, which is great. Our website has different sections depending on what you're interested in. There's all the voting stuff under the voting tab. We also have lots of our content related to current events and foreign policy stuff. Hey, if what I've talked about today has interested you at all, we also have an email list and you're welcome to sign up for it in the Get Involved tab on our website. And we even have a list for if you want to take the next step and be a volunteer. We've got an awesome volunteer corps that does cool work and gets together every once in a while.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to check out your website. I'm not going to lie because I love being super informed before voting. And I love that it's all in one place. It makes it easier. I've said this before. It just, you guys make it easier for us to vote. And that's awesome. Our primary mission here at Army Wife Network is empowerment. And we always want to hear what empowerment means to our guests. So tell us, how would you complete this sentence? Empowerment is
dusting off the cobwebs of misunderstanding and taking a blowtorch to self-doubt. Okay, I know that was a long sentence. I thought about it a lot, but
I love that.
In my mind, military spouses especially, we already have so much power within ourselves. And it's silly stuff that gets in the way that makes us forget about that. And so my job isn't to give you anything you don't already have inside yourself. It's just to get rid of the silly stuff so that you can stand in your own power. So that's why I focus on the cobwebs and the blowtorch.
I'm good with the blowtorch. Taking a blowtorch to self-doubt. I think that can be a mantra from now on.
Yeah, I should really make like bumper stickers with it. Oof. Good fundraising
idea. I like it. I like it. Sarah, thank you so much for coming onto the show and reminding everyone why it is so important to get involved and to vote. As military spouses, we have a lot of pride for this country. So it's equally important for us to do our part to have a say in both local and national government elections. Thank you so much for joining us. Now let's hand it back over to our hosts in the metaphorical studio to hear what they thought of our conversation with Sarah about the Secure Families Initiative. Back to you, ladies.
Wow. Sarah, I don't know how you're feeling right now, but that was so informative. And honestly, I've always had a lot of like anxiety when voting does come around because I'm like, oh, am I filling out the right forms? You know, because our home state is still Florida, but now we're in Colorado and we've been here for so long. And so sometimes I'm like, oh, do we become residents here? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, with military life, like there's always that chance of us moving again. So I love how they've just got so many resources for us and all in one place. And when she was talking about how simple it is, I was just like so excited. I'm thinking, wow, I really need to look at this a little bit differently than I have been.
Yeah, because it can be really challenging to vote as a military family because, you know, you may not be in your home state. I know for my husband and I am registered to vote in Virginia, but he is registered to vote in Texas. And so we can't even really go to the same resource to find our information. So it can be a challenge. And it's really cool that this organization has provided such a great resource for military spouses and their families and even teens. They have a really cool military teen program to get people out to vote.
Yes, I know. I was even thinking like in the future, hopefully it'll be easy for my kids now that I know that this is out there. And so it's really, really exciting stuff. Overall, what did you get from the interview?
So I really appreciated their conversation about advocacy and how important it is for military spouses and families and service members to advocate for themselves and for the community that they live in. I really was able to identify with what Annie said about kind of being fearful of speaking out and filling out those, you know, those housing surveys or you know, just going to somebody else on the base if you have an issue, because you're always worried about the ramifications and what might happen if your service member gets into trouble for you speaking out about, say, the mold in housing, or, you know, in Hawaii, they have the drinking water problem. But sometimes it is necessary to speak out, and it's great that there are organizations like SFI that can help advocate for us and support us when we need to speak out. And it's super cool that they, you know, they're not just empowering military spouses, but they're also working to influence legislation directly, you know, trying to impact the things that underlie our everyday lives, which I think is pretty cool.
Yes, I could not agree more. And I feel like most spouses, not that I can speak for everyone, but we really do kind of have that issue of, are we going to have repercussions from stating how we feel? And, or even, you know, sometimes I feel like my vote, when I think about it, I'm kind of torn sometimes because of the military. And so you just, yeah, it's definitely this fine line that we all kind of have to walk on. But I know that I'm always preaching, especially as a teacher, to my students about like advocate, you know, have a voice.
Yes.
And then here I am, like, so timid and afraid to speak my mind, but it does help. And I love how you could just tell Sarah was so passionate and about advocating for yourself and for democracy, and that, you know, every vote really does matter and count. And I know I'm guilty of sometimes being like, oh, you know, does it really matter? We just get so tired and frustrated sometimes, I think. And, yes. But you know, you can't let all the negative impact you. It really does make a huge difference. So I just loved hearing her passion, and it really inspired me as well.
Same. Like, I almost felt that I'm so proud of her and I'm so proud of their organization, because as military spouses, we all kind of like to grumble about, you know, the things that aren't great in military life, but SFI is out there actually making a difference and doing things to better the life of the military family. And I'm really proud of them for doing that.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So as Sarah shared, empowerment is dusting off the cobwebs of misunderstanding and taking a blowtorch to self-doubt, which is probably one of the coolest answers that I have heard to that question. So I want to say thank you again to Sarah Strader for joining us this week and sharing all about her nonprofit Secure Families Initiative. Again, if you would like to connect with Sarah, you can find her on Facebook at Secure Families and on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Secure_Families. You can also find more information about SFI at their website, securefamilyinitiatives.org.
Such an amazing interview that brings us up to speed with current military life resources. And speaking of resources, this week's Resource Recon is all about our latest social media scoop. As we mentioned before, we are fully entrenched in summer mode here at Army Wife Network, and we are almost halfway through our latest monthly Instagram series, #AWN Jumping Into June. Our team has been busy sharing some of their summer adventures, whether it be PCSing or taking a family vacation, as well as just some other summer favorites. You can check out our Instagram at Army Wife Network and be sure to follow our hashtags, which is hashtag AWN behind the scenes and hashtag AWN jumping into June. Sarah, what would you say is your favorite thing about the summer months?
So I did mention that I live in Virginia, I think, but I'm actually a Maryland native. So as an East Coast girl, my favorite part of the summer has always been spending, you know, long days at the beach and enjoying, you know, a big family crab feast. I don't know if you eat seafood, but it's a big part of the culture in Maryland and Virginia. So, you know, summer is 100% hands down my favorite season, even with the humidity and the bugs and all of that. I absolutely love it. And I try to really live it up every year. What about you? What is your favorite thing about summer?
Oh, so now that you've brought up the beach, because I'm a Floridian at heart and, I do love the beach so much. But now that we live in Colorado, I will say I appreciate being outdoors in a different way. So I'm definitely planning to take a lot of hikes, especially now that I think at 6 months is when kids can go up a little bit higher in altitude, which we're already pretty high here in the Springs area. So I'll be taking both my kids out on a couple hikes. They even have some like stroller friendly ones around here. Cool. And so just being outdoors and, you know, not having it be, you know, below freezing temperatures, because we've had a pretty cold season this winter. So just excited that we're finally moving into summer. We kind of skip over spring in the springs. And so, yeah, just being outdoors, I'd say, is going to be my favorite part. Plus we have my birthday, my daughter's birthday, our wedding anniversary. So lots of celebrations.
Yeah, that's so fun.
And I may be a little biased, but I think our social media is super fun and engaging, especially you've got to check out our reels, everyone, if you haven't yet. And listeners, if you're interested in staying up to date and entertained with our videos, giveaways, and trivia, then you can find us on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram at Army Wife Network.
Our final amazing resource for today comes from everyone's favorite empowerment agent, with our Empowerment Patrol Platoon Member of the Month, also known as our top fan of Army Wife Network. Let's listen in.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bicknies, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today, we are showcasing our Platoon Member of the Month, who is also known as our biggest supporter and fan. This month's recipient is Becky Ellingham Powers, who was nominated for being so positive and empowering to fellow mill spouses and on our social media. Becky is not just a sister to one of our command team members, but she is an empowering friend to all of us here at Army Wife Network. She is always so positive on our social media, and we appreciate her love and support on our Facebook page. Becky, thank you for always being a cheerleader for us. We really do appreciate your encouragement and empowerment of Army Wife Network. Thanks again to Becky Powers for doing your part to empower military families all across the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies, reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey. And congratulations again, Becky Ellingham Powers. I will reach out to you soon to hook you up with some fabulous Army Wife Network swag. Also, you will now have a permanent place on our website in our Empowerment Gallery. Thanks so much for your engagement with our network.
Well, Amanda, I have enjoyed hanging out with you today, but we are nearing the end of this episode. And I just want to thank the listeners for sticking with us to the end. We hope you enjoyed this episode and plan to subscribe to the podcast so you can keep up with any future episodes like our Mill Spouse Empowerment Moments that are live on Facebook each Thursday at noon. Also, be sure to tune in to next week's double feature episode. Army Wife Network's owner and commander, Dr. Sherita Knobloch, will be interviewing Angie Fair and Denise Lewis from the Arm Me Up Career Campaign, as well as First Command Financial Services, about recent military spouse employment survey results. I have already set a reminder to make sure that I catch that one.
Well, listeners, please remember that we are here to help you navigate your military life journey. No matter what comes your way, Army Wife Network is ready to help you out. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network command team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. Inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com to connect with all of our engaging resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.